We're just gonna pray in tongues for a moment or two, okay? We're gonna pray strongly, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this next session. We thank you for the wonderful truth and understanding that has been unfolded to us. Lord, we thank you. We just keep our hearts open. We thank you for being inspired. We thank you for being convicted. We thank you for being taught and educated and understanding coming into our minds and our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy's schemes are being exposed. And Father, we thank you as they're exposed. We can sever our connection with them. We can repent of it, or we can see where it's been trying to operate. So today, Lord, we yield to you. We submit to you, and we resist the enemy. We resist the devil, that he would flee from us. So we thank you, Lord, for this next session, for more understanding, more insight, more revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you, Mike. Take it away.
Oh, glory to God. I feel stirred up and excited already. That's a good wake-up, isn't it? Whoa. Rabba shaka baba. Awesome. Anyone run away that we noticed? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We open our hearts for you to speak to us and help us. Okay, then. Well, it's just a great joy just going into this session. I want to, in this session, we talked about how a Jezebelic spirit or that power gets tentacles into people's lives. So if you think of it in terms of entanglement with something that's bigger and is manipulating your life, you know, think of it like that. Think this is almost like that thing, the Matrix, isn't it, really? The life I thought I lived, I took a red pill today. You know, I'm in a matrix. I'm being manipulated. I'm in a dream, and it's not like I thought. And I love that movie because it just opens the whole thing up. And okay, so I want to speak in this session. I want to talk about the characteristics of a person under the influence of the spirit of Jezebel. Characteristics, what you would notice. And remember, when your characteristics, person may not have them all, but they may have a number of these things. But don't go labeling them. You become on high alert that things are not what they appear to do. Remember, one of the aspects, Jezebel is the goddess of seduction. Therefore, its approach is to lull you into taking in what they say so you can be manipulated. But the moment, of course, you front up to it, then there's another side comes out straight away. And so these are things we've noticed over a period of time, and I'm particularly looking at it in the context of church, but these things happen in the home, and they happen everywhere you go, wherever there's groups of people. Okay, and we haven't got enough time to go into every area, but the family and marriage is another key one. I think I might do one some session sometime, not this seminar, just on the whole thing operating in marriage and family, because it's a very big one. Okay, anyway, so we saw that Jezebel was another name for her was the Queen of Heaven. Mystery Babylon was a power, and it's this demonic being, and it can only be in one place at one time, and so it occupies realms in the heavens. It works with other spiritual powers and rulers in the heavens, and eventually it works right down until you've got some demons harassing you, but they are connected to try and control. That's how it works. Okay, so here's a few characteristics then. I want to look at the characteristics. Tonight I want to look at how to recognize if you're under a Jezebelic attack, the symptoms you would experience and what to do to overcome them. Then we'll have a massive time of ministry. Okay, so let's just go through this session now. And I want to give you these sorts of things we've observed over a period of time that people who have that spirit in them, because their identity is not established or secure in Christ, there's usually they're driven to do something. So first they target leadership. They target leadership. So people with the Jezebel spirit will target those who are in leadership, who have influence, and they will try to connect with them in some sort of way. They want to get alongside them. They don't always want to take over, but they do want to be next to the people in charge. And it's interesting that throughout the Bible, that sorcerers were often next to the leaders of the community. So you notice that Paul had a conflict with a sorcerer, and he was influencing the Roman centurion or the Roman leader. And there was the Jezebelic person was next to the person who made the charges. Remember, remaining unseen but calling the shots and influencing. And so often that's what they are. So they may target not just the leader but their family. So we've had people target our family, target our children, try to influence the children so they gain access to the family, influence it with gifts or service. The second thing is that a person with a Jezebel spirit will seek position and power. It's not service they seek, it's position, rank, label, and power. Labels are very important to them. Titles are very important. They want position of authority, not service, but they'll use service to get the position. But once they've got the position, they change. They change once they have the position. So before they get the positions, they'll serve. You think, oh, what a wonderful person. Oh, my. But what you don't realize is they are serving in such a way as to make them indispensable. So they'll quietly run down everyone else in the team that they're not very good and they can't do it. And they turn up and they just go the second mile, do everything. But what they're doing is seducing you to depend on them. And what you don't realize while they're running down the members of the team to you and how bad they all are, but they're there for you and faithful, that they're also running you down to the team. Well, you know, they keep forgetting these things and don't do these things, but fortunately I'm here to make sure that everything runs smoothly. So a person like that would then serve their way into position. So they serve their way until they're indispensable. They eliminate everyone else around them until they become the one. They're so gifted, so capable. You can't do without them. Really? You can really do without them. So the real goal is to gain access and attention. And of course, male leaders don't always notice this or see this, but fortunately they have a wife that does see it. And if you listen to your wife, you can be protected from these things. If you don't listen to your wife, you will suffer. And you deserve it. And I have suffered. This is the voice of experience. Listen. Be in agreement. She's concerned, then there's something to be concerned about. Even if you don't see it, there is something there. Okay, so Jezebel creates ungodly soul ties. Person with the spirit of Jezebel will create ungodly soul ties. A soul tie is a spiritual bond between people, even though they call it soul tie. It's actually a bonding or an unusual connection. So the people, she builds a network. They're outstanding at networking. My goodness, they know everyone and everything that's going on. So they will show care, very caring. They'll show comfort. Oh, they come alongside. So often there's a mothering kind of thing. And the one thing they'll do is they'll flatter. Oh, my goodness. Oh, pastor, that was the most wonderful message. You're such a wonderful pastor. Oh, thank you. You don't realize actually all flattery. It's not really designed to make you, it's designed to make you feel good, but so you'll be attracted and drawn. Like to be around people that are not always harassing you all the time. But their goal is to get you into agreement with them and then an attachment to them and loyalty to them. So that's why their service aspect and hospitality aspect is so strong. Now, please don't start to think, ooh, and start to then be critical of people and judge their motives. Don't do that. That would be not kind. Just, we're trying to find and identify these things. The Lord can show them. Look for it in your own life first before we look at it in anyone. Because here's the thing. When you get your own life free of this influence, you see very clearly. That's how it works. Okay, so here's one of the ways you can see this working, and you see it in the story of Absalom. Everyone knows the story of Absalom. Remember that Jezebel can work through a man as well as a woman. It's a spirit. And Absalom operated under the spirit of Jezebel. He was totally under the influence. Why was he under the influence? Because he was struggling with rejection and offense. That's the main, one of the main things they used to get in, just rejection and offense. And we read in 2 Samuel 15, verse 1, after this happened, Absalom provided for himself chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And he would rise early and stand by the way of the gate, leadership, authority, places where decisions are made. And when everyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, Absalom would call him away and say, oh, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant's from such and such a tribe of Israel. And he'd say, oh, your case is so good. Oh, you've been treated so badly. And the king is just not providing anyone to hear you. Moreover, he would say, well, now, you see, if I was made a judge in the land, then I'd make sure that anyone who had a lawsuit or a cause of injustice would come to me and I'd give them justice. Does this sound familiar? Oh, my God. That right now, you're looking at the justice movement. And while there is a cause of justice, there's a godly way of getting it. You notice how this is. And anyone who came near, he would bow down and honor them, put out his hand, take them and kiss them. It's all greeting them. And he did this way to all Israel who came to the king for judgment, and he stole their hearts. He stole, which is what they do. So you notice here, he gathered people to himself to gain, promote himself and gain control. That's what it's all about. It's all about self-promotion. It's nothing to do with, I'm concerned about your injustice. That has nothing to do with it. The agenda is to use your injustice and your pain to gather your support and loyalty. That's why people who are under the Spirit will always gravitate to people who are wounded and offended and broken and have suffered injustice or abuse, because they are vulnerable. They don't see it. They're hurting. And their goal is not at all to heal. They want to use you to build their network, build people who are loyal to them and supportive of them. So the gates were the place where justice was given, place where the conflicts were resolved. It was a place of governance and leadership. So when people would come to the king and they've got something wrong and they're asking for a verdict, a decision, they're needing justice because they've got injustice, that's where Jezebel gathered. And you notice there, he intentionally drew near. So he initiates the connection. These people have got a great way of finding out people that are hurt and offended. Like, unbelievable. He showed affection. Oh, and flattered them. Your cause is good. Oh, you have been treated badly. See what he's doing? And he did this until he came into agreement with their injustice. It doesn't say he heard it out and told them what was the right thing to do. They never resolve anything because they don't want you to do the right thing. They want you to stay hurt and offended. You see, if a person's offended, one of the first things, well, stop just complaining. Have you been to talk to the person? Then you need to do the biblical thing, talk directly to them if this is at all possible. If you need support, I'll help you. And God requires you resolve the offense and forgive. Now, you see, so godly counsel will do that. But a Jezebelic person, let me tell you about the stuff I went through, you know. Oh, it's leadership, man. You know, it goes, and so the offense all grows. And he came into agreement with their complaint. And then you notice subtly he's pointing out the lacks in the leadership. Well, it's just a shame, you know. David's such a great king, really. You know, he's a great king that God appointed. But, you know, he's really missing it. He's not making sure that you are being looked after. You're not being looked after, you know. Can you see? It's a pointing out that authority is to blame and authority's treating you badly. That's why you've got this problem. Sound all familiar? Yep. So he points out that there's really a lack of justice. You know, it's not fair the way you've been treated. And then he moves from there to promoting himself. Well, you know, they don't understand. I've got that gift, you know. If I was put in that role, I'd make sure that your issue was sorted out very quickly and I'd help you. And my God, I see some of you have seen that happen, eh? Yeah. And so what happened is he stole. He took their loyalty. You understand, if you steal something, you're a thief. So Jezebel is a thief. It steals what doesn't belong, loyalty. And one of the most painful things that happens when you're leading a church, leading a group, is when people you've invested in, loved, sown in, asked for nothing back, and a thief comes in and steals their hearts and their loyalty, and they turn on you, criticize you, gather in a group and walk away and then accuse you. That is one of the biggest heartbreaks in ministry. It's an attack of Jezebel that if you can't get over it, then you'll be the unjust one. I've had lots of reason to feel sad about leadership. met two pastors, fall in adultery that I was loyal to and served. You've got to be able to, that's a betrayal of the first order. You've got to be able to get over it so you can move forward. But if you don't, you'll have an attitude about authority. If you've got an attitude about authority, you're a prime candidate to come under the influence of Jezebel. One of the first things I realized when I got revelation of the kingdom of God is that authority comes from God, and you, and as they say in the army, you honor the office. You want, even if the person in it's not so hot and the person in it doesn't do their job very well, that's their business with God. He's got to sort that out. My job is to honor the office of authority wherever I find it, whether it's in the home, or whether it's in the community, whether wherever it is. That's my, if I want to live under kingdom authority and want to live in the power of the Spirit, I need to recognize authority. All authorities come from God. The powers that be are ordained of God. He that resists the authority resists the ordinance of God and shall receive judgment. That's in Romans 13. So I've learned that by revelation. So when authorities over me committed adultery, operated in secrecy, betrayed the very things I'm doing in my life and destiny, when they did that, the issue is still I have to keep my heart right, not pick up the offense, injustice, and then have an attitude that leaves me unable to be spoken into, unable to be under authority. So if I can't be under authority, I am independent. If I'm independent, I'm exactly like the word Jezebel means without cohabitation or without, it means to be independent. I do what I want. Anyway, he fulfilled them with his agenda. His agenda. So notice what it says in verse 11. It says, Absalom went out with 200 men he invited, and they went along innocently. They didn't have a clue. So the people who followed him didn't have a clue what was going on. They just thought, he's a good guy. Look at him. He's tall. He's handsome. Got long hair. Looks good. Big chariots. And he's going to help us out. And the king is really lost. He got a bit old, past it, old school. And so we need to get rid of him. We need to actually get a new king. Can you see what he's actually fomented insurrection. And they went along, had never a clue what was going on. They went along to their death. Those who followed him died. If you follow and read through Jezebel's story, everyone dies that's connected to her. Everyone. They all die. The children die, the grandchildren, the whole line dies out. And so when we connect into that power, there's a death and destruction comes to everything we're connected to. It's just we can't see it. And if you don't see it, you don't know. Actually, it's that hidden spirit power and my cooperating with it's causing this problem. So often we grieve over things with children, grieve over things in different places, and we don't realize actually there's something spiritual operating. You've got to get on your knees and deal with the justice in the spirit realm, and then power flows to set people free. Okay, here's another characteristic. Jezebel seeks and uses information for power. As they say, information is power. Jezebel, people with the spirit of Jezebel, they seek out information. The spirit must know what is happening everywhere. And get this, when I have found people that got that spirit, they extract information out of people like no one. You could see it's like, oh my God, how did you? I've ended up saying things. Why did I say that? Why did I share that? That was confident. Why did I share it? I was bewitched under the influence of a spirit. It was seducing and drawing it out of me with little hints that they know more than they know. Next thing you know, you're sharing things. Wait a minute, I shouldn't have been sharing all about that stuff. But it's too late. They've got it and they'll use it. He said. Oh my goodness, they can draw it out because many times they've got a familiar spirit with them that enables them to do it. They extract information from people. People open their hearts and share things they should not be sharing. So when a Jezebelic spirit comes near a guy, a woman with Jezebel comes near the guy, he will open up his heart and share things not sharing with his wife. And now there's a bond forms. There's a real problem developing right now. There's an adulterous spirit already in the relationship. So you've got to realize that it's like that. So it operates. It seeks out information. Expert. And they seem to know everything about everyone. Unbelievable. That's a seducing spirit. And not only that, they use information as a source of power. So if they get in a leadership role, they may not give you all the information you need. And you try to do your job with partial information, and it doesn't work out because you didn't get the full story, and you look the idiot. And so they grow in status and then take over your job. Oh, it's an evil thing. Tentacles, it's an evil thing that forms a network. Horrible stuff. And it's a seducing spirit. So, or they just give you a little bit of information, keep you hanging on for more. So it's like you become dependent on them. They're the ones that tell you what's what. Oh, my goodness, it's just evil. So anyway, they seek information. Here's the next thing is that a person like that will sow seeds of discord. They sow seeds of discord. So often they'll spiritualize the conversation, and they'll often use the term, God told me. Think, what? God told you? Why can't you just own what you know and you're saying? Why do you have to say, God told me? Because they're appealing to being more spiritual than you. So when you're with a person like that, you feel like you're the most you wonder, am I even saved? I'm not sure I'm even saved. That person seems so spiritual. They seem to hear from God. I wish I could hear from God like that. Perhaps they could teach me. It's like it's a horrible thing. What you're experiencing is spiritual pride. And it makes you feel like I'm useless and hopeless. I don't know anything. And so they'll use that, or they'll take the credit for things other people have done. It's awful, see? And then if any failure comes, they'll never own it. They'll always blame someone else. See, so this causes discord. They'll receive, but they won't show gratitude. I noticed all of the Jezebelic people had a sense of entitlement. And so when you did anything or gave them anything, they never said thank you. It's like, well, of course you did it. I'm entitled. So bitterness in the heart always shows up by entitlement and lack of gratitude. So I find now I watch people who aren't thankful. Oh, okay. There's more there than we realize. Because gratitude is the overflow of a heart that appreciates what someone has done and the sacrifice they made. Lack of gratitude always indicates a bitter heart and possibly manipulative one. So they will complain how hard they work. I'm working so hard. Oh, I worked so hard, serving so hard, and doing so much. Oh, you chose to do it, didn't you? They'll never give credit to anyone else for what they've done. They won't honor people easily because they don't want to honor people. They want me to be honored. So that you don't find them very honoring people at all. And if they do, it's just all flattery. Oh, and you can sort of, it sickens you when you hear it because it's so sweet and sick and wonderful, and you sort of feel, sounds all right, but why do I feel like I want to just throw up? I shouldn't feel like that. I'm so unchristian. I'm so not spiritual. Can you see the turmoil it brings? Horrible turmoil. And they flatter to your face but then criticize you behind the back. See, it's all part of this discord. They exaggerate situations so they seem worse than they are. It's dreadful. It's dreadful what's happening. You think it sounds like a panic thing, like something disastrous. It's not happening. It's just become elevated in their mind. It's a big deal. It took me ages to twig that one. I would think, am I insensitive or something? That doesn't seem a big deal to me. Then I realized, actually, we have this stuff all the time. There's all kinds of things going on. You don't get exaggerating how big stuff is. It is, and you just ride with it and work with it. Stuff happens, you know. So they'll exaggerate their own achievements, what they've done and how hard they're working. They point out the faults of others. And here's one in creating discord. They'll cut people off very easily. So if you don't go along with them, they'll cut you off like, hello? It's like you don't exist. They'll even walk by and ignore you. And just like, because you're not yielding to them, they'll cut you off. I don't care. Do what you want. I'm not worried about that. So anyone, they're either in the circle or they're cut off from the circle. And so that means their relationships are not inclusive. Their relationships are agendered. It's those who will work with me to get what I want. I'll work with them. Everyone else, well, it's like you don't exist. So they can be quite cold or quite warm warm if you respond to them, and really cold and cutting if you're not. Ooh. Here's another thing about Jezebel. People under the influence of Jezebel are incredibly vengeful. They say they're forgiven, but they haven't. They remembered it. And so you may go through and try to sort an offense or problem out, but it's not over. It's never over until they've paid you back. It's unbelievable. In 1 Kings 19:2, then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "Let the gods do to me and more also, if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, I'm going to kill you." So the Jezebel spirit, people under it, never really forgive. They harbor offense. That's what keeps the spirit empowered in them. And they basically are thinking, how can I get revenge? How can I pay you back? So they may pretend to forgive. And, oh, look, I forgive, you know. They'll point out your fault. And then you say, look, I'm sorry. I apologize for that, you know. And then they say they're forgiven or let it go, but they haven't. And then later on, months later, a year later, they took it. Well, you did that, remember? I think, no, I don't remember because I thought it was resolved, but apparently in your mind and heart it's not resolved. You never let it go. You're still carrying something. Now you're trying to add it, make it fuel on the current fire. Oh, my goodness. And so they remember the details unbelievably. It has to be a demon. No one could remember. You said this. I can't remember what I said yesterday, but a person with a Jezebel spirit can remember what I said a year ago in detail. How do they do that? Did you do a recording or something? But no, they've got it and they're using it as evidence against you. They're building a case. Oh, my goodness. So it's just difficult to handle. And here's another thing. And if they do get in power, then that's the point. They destroy everyone else if they've harbored an offense. See, so if you've offended them and hurt them, the moment they're in power, now you will feel their disapproval. You will gradually be paid back and cut off. And the funny thing is, I've noticed, it's not till they're in the position of power you really see how bad they are to people. Because prior to that, they're trying to impress you and they're flattering everyone, serving everyone. They're just the most wonderful thing. But once they've got the position, oh, now those who comply, accepted, those who aren't, are cut off completely and undermined. This is so evil. I hate this thing. I do hate it. It's okay to hate it. And here's the other thing. They're attracted to the prophetic and the intercessors. Oh, they love the prophetic and the intercessors. Because the interesting thing, 1 Kings 18 and verse 19, Jezebel had a whole party of prophets of Baal and prophets of Jezebel. There were 850 of them. That's really big stuff. We'd find it hard to find all that many prophets around, wouldn't we? But she grew them under the influence of that spirit. She surrounded herself with the false prophets of Baal and Asherah. So they resist true prophets, which lead to repentance. Well, that opens up a whole thing, doesn't it? Very good, Mike. Yeah, because you see, the spirit of Baal is a divination spirit. So people under Jezebel will prophesy sweet flatteries to seduce you and bring you under their influence. Or harsh judgments, or prophecies that are mystical and you haven't got a clue what they mean, so you've got to come and keep dependent on them to tell you. Oh, I don't like it. And so that often their prophecies will flatter and feed pride. And it would look like this, oh, God has shown me that he's given you such a wonderful ministry, going to be a world ministry. God is going to raise you up and use you right through the world, and people are going to come to you. And wonderful. Now, there are prophecies where God talks about promoting and elevating, but you've got to be careful that you don't just take in these things. We're to discern them and judge them as to whether they're really God or not. And of course, if they prophesy that and nothing happens, you go back and say, what happened? They say, clearly you rebelled against God. It's not nothing to do with me. You see, no ownership of anything. Oh, it's a horrible thing. I mean, horrible. I want you to see how horrible it is, so you really will hate it. You won't tolerate it, see? And then here's the other thing, of course, that Jezebel had a table. Jezebel's table. So it says, notice here, the prophets, it said, In 1 Kings 18 and verse 19, the prophets, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So one of the things is Jezebel, people with that spirit use hospitality and meals and coffees and private connections to get you into their network. Now, there's a genuine hospitality, and it just loves people, and it's wonderful, and we should practice that. But this has got an hospitality with an agenda, always with an agenda. And they use it to draw you into offensive conversations and so on. They'll sometimes do it to put you under obligation. I had one. My God, it took me time to realize this. They come and they, Pastor, oh, Pastor, Lord, put on my heart to give you this gift. Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind. Thank you for what that. 2 days later, I need something from you. Now, if that happened a couple of times, I'm thinking, wait a minute. The gift is followed by a demand. This wasn't a gift. This is spiritual trading. This is Jezebelic. You understand? And then you'd receive the gift and be appreciative. Then you feel like you can't say no to the request. That's how it operates. Gifts with agendas. Now, a gift is a gift. If it's got something in exchange, it's called a trade. See? So if you trade, you do this and I get that. And Jesus said in the kingdom, in Luke 6, he tells us this. He said, if you love others who have loved you, in other words, if you're returning what they gave you, where's the grace of God in that? And he said, if you give to others expecting something back, where's the grace of God in that? He said, the kingdom doesn't operate that. The kingdom is free of agendas. So kingdom operates. He said, if you give and you don't want anything back and you love and whatever, all these things, he said, then you are children of your Father. You're showing what the kingdom is like, and your reward will be great with our Father. So he's saying, you can freely give because God notes it all and the motive, and he will pay you back. But if you give trying to get something back, now you're trading, now you're coming into the Jezebelic kingdom, and you know what? You'll end up hurt because you never get what you thought you were going to get. Oh, it's not fair, exactly. I've served in this church for so long. No one appreciated me. It's not fair. Hello? I smell trading going on there. Was your service a gift with no strings attached to the Lord, or was it a trade where I wanted something back? If it's a gift, then you gave it to the Lord and to people. If they didn't say thank you, that's their problem. If they didn't honor you and appreciate you and say how wonderful you are, that's their problem. You've got to let all that go. God can honor you. You see, you can't get the honor of men and the honor of God. It requires faith to get the honor of God. So I found that many people are embittered because they gave and served and sacrificed, and there wasn't appreciation, there wasn't honor, there wasn't gratitude. That is wrong, of course. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 verse 10, it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. God is not unrighteous to forget what you have done. In other words, to forget what people have done and not acknowledge it and be ungrateful and not remember and value them is unrighteous. So that is unrighteous if people don't do that. So in the church, we should build a culture where we value and appreciate people and not exploit them. However, if you have given service, give it. Don't trade it. Just give it to the Lord. See, everything, whatever you do, do it heartily. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord, not to men. And from the Lord you receive reward. So in other words, when you serve us in the church, it's a voluntary thing. You give it because you chose to, not because you're manipulated. If you're manipulated, you're resentful. And it's not service, it's a trade. It's under a Jezebelic kingdom. So we've got to learn to just, whatever we give freely, we give it unto the Lord. And Lord, you've given so much to me, it's a joy for me to give, it's a joy to me to serve, joy to me to that. Now people don't appreciate it, that's their problem. I'm not worried about what they do. I've chosen to be the servant of the Lord. Can you see that keeps your heart free? So I've had to help lots of people who've either been leaders of churches or leaders in movements or whatever, leaders, and I've had to do this myself. The Lord showed me how to get free of it. When I'd served, sacrificed, given years of my life, walked through betrayals, all kinds of things, bought in a move of God, done all kinds of things, and then the outcome it was that I was just dismissed like that, like I've done something wrong. And I just had, the Lord showed me this is what you do. You just build an altar. And everything you gave, everything you sacrificed, you put on the altar unto him and then release people from all debt. release them from all obligation. What they do is their business. And then the Lord's got his own ways of honoring. If you stop looking to the people you serve for the honor and you look to the Lord, he's got his own way of getting it to you. It's a little bit of a delay, but he gets it to you. So I found, interestingly enough, in our area, there's a big business, and when people get laid, finish their season of work, they get a gold watch. Gold watches in our area, that means you've done a great service, and it's appreciated. And after we'd finished up leading a movement, and there was a whole lot of just bad behavior, I felt, dishonoring behavior, all that kind of stuff, we just released it all to the Lord and gave it to him and said, joy, joy to serve you. And Lord, you brought us in, you brought us out. Great, praise the Lord. What's the next thing? So we released it all to him, built an altar, put all the sacrifice on it, gave it all to the Lord, released everyone from debt. A little while later, one of the pastors said, I want to take you to an office. And I want to take you to the town and I wanted to buy you a gold watch each. South Africa. It wasn't even in New Zealand. It was in South Africa. First visit there, and then they want, this guy you don't even know wants to buy me a gold watch. And the moment I got the gold watch, God said, that's from me. Lord, I spoke to him to give it to you. This is from me for what you did. Wow. Hello, how about that? We went to another church in another country, Singapore, and the guy said, look, I really feel I'd like to take you both on a cruise and pay for all expenses to come to the Mediterranean on a cruise. The Lord said, that's not from them, that's from me. See, can you understand, this is what keeps your spirit sweet and free instead of getting all bitter and twisted because of the manipulations and operations of Jezebelic spirits. You're only responsible for your response. And so I've helped lots of people who went through this experience and tell them it's really simple. Let go. Stop trading. Repent of trading. Just make all your giving an offering to the Lord and he'll fix it up and balance the book somehow. He can do it much better. You can't get it from men and from God too, so just choose which one's going to be the bigger payer. Well, it's quite simple, isn't it, really? Jesus put it like this. He said to the Pharisees, how can you believe or have faith who seek the honor of men and don't seek the honor only God can give you? So I seek the honor God gives. So I'm not worried about whether people don't like me, get upset about me, all that kind of stuff. It's really irrelevant because I'm seeking the honor that God gives by walking with him. That keeps you free of the Jezebelic thing. Keeps you free of that whole trading system of Jezebel. I do this for you, but you've got to do this for me. That's how it works. So you've got to get free of all that system. And this is why people get so angry. When I handed over the church to my son, I said, I set him down for a talk, and I said this. I said, everything that we have done over the years we've been in the city, all the sacrifices, everything we've done is our gift to God and the city and the church. The church owes us nothing. You are free from all obligations. We have made it a gift to God. So this is what we've gifted to God. What you give to us is your honor to us. And it cannot be honor if it's only, it can only be honor if it's freely given. So what you do to honor us for our service is your decision and reflects who you are. What we do, this is our gift to God and reflects who we are. Can you see you cannot get entangled in that kind of trading that goes on? The moment you do, you will always feel cheated and resentful, and Jezebel will draw you in. That's why a lot of people, I hear the statement, I was used. Well, could you have said no? Why not? Do you understand the spiritual things at work here? You're feeling used because you look for something and you didn't get what you were hoping for. You were trading, not giving. Once you catch it, do not trade in Jezebel's table. Oh, you're getting so quiet. But these are things I learned the hard way. I learned them through pain, distress, dishonor, and finding revelation. That's how God deals with it. So there you go. So that's Jezebel's table, you know. And so you got to watch, you know, people that prophesy privately. Because when you go to Jezebel's table, there'll be private prophecies. There's no accountability. Oh, my giddy aunt, I remember one now. Lord, I just walked by accident into a situation and flushed a Jezebelic operation out. And that's what apostolic ministries tend to do. And look, I'm trying my best not to do anything to upset anyone, and I can't help it. We had a couple that were part of a team in the church that we were in, and then they went to another place, planted a church and whatever. And then we were going in there, and we're having a holiday in their city. And so they asked us to come. They had a home group going, and they come to minister at the home group. And we only really wanted to just connect with a couple and just restore, just rebuild relationship. I'd rather not do anything. No, I've got a meeting tonight. Come in and do some ministry. So anyway, we came, and I had a word to share. That's all I wanted. I didn't want to get entangled. I just wanted to just reconnect. And it was not to be. And because he'd uncovered a huge thing inside there. So what happened was someone had wanted prayer because they got some sickness, and some woman in there prophesies healing over this one. She's prophesying over this one. People start crying out for this, and she's prophesying answers. It's this divination operating. And I'm looking, thinking, and I'm shrinking into my seat by now. And feeling, oh my goodness, there's divination operating, and it's not being restrained, and this is wrong. and then I thought, well, I'll just get up and share my word and sit down and quietly get... So, anyway, that was not to be either, because I got up to share my word, and this person said, I've been prophesied, or I'll be healed. I want you to pray for me. After I'd share the word, and I'm thinking, oh goodness. And I said, well, I got to say something. I said, in the Bible, prophecy is not done this way. Like a divination thing where you ask the medium questions and they reply. I said, so I don't recognize the prophecy that was just given as being a prophetic word from God. I am happy to pray for you, but not on the basis of that prophecy. Well, then the person who prophesied started crying out loud. I'm thinking, oh. So I thought I'll try and add a little more clarity. You do learn a lot of things on the journey. So I thought I'll clear up the mess a little. I said, basically, this is why prophecy is not done in private homes, because if you prophesy in a private home, then there's no one to judge the prophecy. It can become very manipulative and very out of order. Whoa, I've got more people crying. But she came to my house and prophesied over me. And I'm thinking, oh. So I said, Pastor, am I right or not in what I have said? Now, he had tolerated it. Now I put him on the spot. And so he says, no, it's not correct to do that. Ah, there's more crying going out. We've got the whole thing in manifestation mode. And I'm thinking... I just wanted to have a nice time to talk together, and we've flushed out this Jezebelic operation. I should have just gone to the beach or something. It would have been nice. Oh, dear. Needless to say, the atmosphere was very cool after that. It's like us. Like it is down here in the South Island. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So the person with Jezebelic spirit will really seek to come in and use prophecy as a tool to advance their cause, to shape the perspectives and things, to bring people under their influence, to promote spirituality, and they'll often try and get in to be a private intercessor to the pastor so they have access to private things, and then their secret knowledge gives them influence and power and whatever. So you just have to be careful. So there, remember, when there's the false, there's also the genuine. So the counterfeit tells you there is a real. The other thing is Jezebel has children, and they're called eunuchs. I guess you know what a eunuch is. And so, in other words, a person operating in the Jezebelic spirit will always have people around them that are their followers, that are loyal to them. So the eunuchs, were they have no strength of their own. They've lost their masculinity. They're under the spirit of witchcraft. They're just manipulated. They're usually rejected and weak people who are looking for someone strong for approval. So that's what happens. So a person with a Jezebel will gather up people who are emotionally broken and not strong. They gather around and they're like eunuchs. They become her children carrying her influence. They become the people who serve her, the people who do things for her, the people who carry her message. Notice that Jezebel never connected with Elijah. She sent a messenger to do it, one of her messengers. And so they're always slaves to do what Jezebel wants. And usually they're just broken people that feel loved and accepted and mothered or whatever and gathered up, and they feel indebted because someone's shown them kindness, and they've got no idea they're under a spiritual influence. So the problem is they will run to Jezebel's defense if you try to confront it. And so when you come to deal with a person who has a Jezebelic spirit, they've got all these people that will immediately be allies and run. So that's what makes it very difficult to deal with, because when you try to confront the operation of Jezebel in a person, they have built a network of people dependent on them and loyal to them, and they will all rise to defense. And now you have a catastrophic situation in the church where you've got a whole group of people angry, hostile, feeling great injustice and offense on behalf of someone else, and like the followers of Absalom, had no understanding what's really going on. They're about to become desolate. If the pastor's got the strength to stand up to it all and hold his ground and push back on it and hold to the truth and expose the thing, they will all end up out of church and will never probably get into another church. They will remain just on the sideline, and she will abandon them once they're no use. So anyone with Jezebel's spirit or a follower of Jezebel, one of the things that characterizes them, they will always reject any form of rebuke or correction. So the problem is always when you try to bring a correction, their identity is not in Christ. It's in their what they're doing. And so when you try to correct what they're doing, it's taken as an attack on them. And I'll show you how to deal with that a little bit later in another session. And it's a real problem. So Jezebel always reacts when you try to point out what they're doing. Anyone with that spirit, when you try to point out and confront and boundary their behavior, there will be always a war breakout, which is what makes it so painful and difficult to deal with in a marriage, in a family, in a church, in an organization. When someone is operating in that spirit, they don't respond to reason. You have to rule over it and set boundaries. The moment you set boundaries or point out what's happening, there will be a reaction that's very hostile. And I'll just show you it in Scripture, and then you can see it. It's a very big issue, and I'll show you exactly what they do, because I've been through it so many times. I've come out sometimes with my head spinning. I thought I went in to sort something out, and I've come out beaten up, not physically, but spiritually, in a total mess, emotionally overwhelmed, and hadn't got a clue how I got there. Absolutely depressed and unable to function for 2 or 3 days afterwards. And I had no clue what had happened to me. I know now, though. Oh, dear Lord. Anyway, here's Jezebel's response to Jehu. Now, Jehu is anointed to take her down. This is an apostolic anointing. Jehu, Jehovah is he. He is Jehovah, in other words, is the meaning of the name. He's a military commander that's anointed to deal with or confront Jehu. In 2 Kings 9, verse 30, when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, put on paint on her eyes, adorned her head, looked out the window. As he came through the gate, she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" See the cynicism and the whatever it is. And so notice Jezebel's the goddess of war and seduction. Notice her two responses: seduction, put on her eyes and painted her eyes and adorned her head. This was to display how important she is. It's the seductive element. And then aggression: did you murder your master? She accused him of murdering a master. Well, actually, he was an ungodly man. He had to stand up against him. But you notice the accusation. And so the response of Jezebel every time is predictable. You can actually bet your money on it if you're a betting man. You can actually predict exactly when you try to face someone with the spirit how they will respond. They will respond with seduction or they'll respond with intimidation. Okay, that's how it works. Always works like that. And so there's an aggressive response and then they try a different response. So here's the aggressive response. So we sit down and say, "Listen, I need to talk to you about something. I need to address a certain behavior." and I'm not happy about this behavior. This is what's happening, and I want this to stop. This is not how we operate. This is what we want. And so what I'm going to do is point out, this is what the behavior is. This is how it is. It's not part of what we do or the way we do things. This is the boundary I want, and this is what I expect in the future. Quite simple. You did this. I don't want you to do that. I'm displeased with you doing that. I want you to stop doing that. I want you to now do this. That's quite simple, isn't it? Not if you're talking to a Jezebel. Here's the first. Here's the responses you get. I'll give them a list of them. I've had them. I was in one meeting, as I mentioned, 13 different accusations or attacks on me. Anyway, first one, here's the first response. Now, if you're a humble person, gentle spirit, open heart, teachable, oh, I'm really sorry, I don't get that. Can you help me understand that? You want to learn. You want to grow. You want to be teachable. Bible says a fool can't be corrected. Have a look in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, what it says about people who can't be corrected. It says they hate their own soul. They despise their own soul. You go look at it for yourself. I won't give you the verses. So hear that. The first thing is total denial. Nope, never did that. Absolute total denial of any guilt or wrongdoing. Even if you saw it happen. No, never happened. And so the first thing is you think, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I got that wrong. Can you understand? You're starting into the engagement now, and already your head's spinning. So I'll tell you a bit later in another session how you actually go about it. So total denial. And then they get really angry. How could you, after all I've served in here, say such things to me? The voice goes up, the eyes gets really angry, it's really hostile. They look at you in a way you think, whoa, make sure no weapons around here, you know. They can blatantly lie to you. Blatantly lie. No, I never said that. I never did that. Just total actual lying. I find lying really hard to handle. People just, how can they look you in the eyes and blatantly lie? But Jezebel will do that. And then the next thing they'll do is they'll start to blame others, which is exactly what Adam did. He came under that power, and his first response is to deny and blame, just to hide and blame. Aggressive. He threw his wife under the bus. Adam was really bad. He was totally under that spirit. He was seduced by that spirit to believe he could be like God and deliberately did what he did. And then when God confronted him and held him accountable, he blamed his wife and God. It was that woman you gave me. He threw his wife totally under the bus. Horrible man. No wonder he ended up in a bad place. So blaming. So you find when you try to confront a Jezebel person, they will blame others. Then they'll get onto you. They'll start accusing you. Well, you never do this. You. And suddenly they'll haul out all the things. And maybe there's some things you did make mistakes. But the issue is not about that. The issue is this is an attack to avoid being responsible. It's to avoid accountability. It's all a smokescreen. And then they'll threaten you. Well, if you continue down this line, I'm leaving. I'm going to tell others in the church about you. And away it goes. I'm going to withhold my giving. Now it's a very, very big giver in the church, and you found they've been manipulating. And now you think, man, can the church really run if they hold back their money? And they threaten you, I'm going to hold the money back. See, this is it's what goes on. And we're struggling to get through, and you're going to hold your money back. You need the pastor. Their heart shrinks before all of this accusation, intimidation, threats. And then, of course, the last thing they'll do is gather people in to agree. And the others, well, others agree with me. And so they'll pull in others. Well, so-and-so said, and so, and before you know it, you're not dealing with one person. You're dealing with all the supporters as well. So the response, firstly, is always aggressive. And every time you try to raise something carefully with someone to bring a change in behavior or set boundaries and they aggressively respond, a Jezebelic power is operating through them. That is a rejected, broken person whose identity is in their performance or their behavior or their offer. The second thing is the seductive response. Now, the goal is the same. It's just a different way of doing it. They want to avoid responsibility, but instead of attacking you, they're going to manipulate you. So I had one person, I just stood my ground. They were angry. Okay, when you cease being angry, when you've calmed down, we'll carry on our conversation. And so I carried on, and suddenly folded and went into the seductive mode. Suddenly, it's all into tears. And now, instead of it being this wild, aggressive, attacking, threatening person, now I've got something quite different. It's emotions and tears, and I'm so hurt and so worn out. And basically, it's an attempt to draw sympathy and compassion out of you, and again, to avoid responsibility. They may even make a statement. I've heard this one more times than I like to remember. Oh, it's all my fault. I can never get it right. All my fault? No, it isn't all your fault. This is what you're responsible for. In other words, they go from denial of everything to now taking on everything. It's still an attempt to avoid responsibility. Okay, when you stop crying, we'll carry on our conversation. You understand you have to remain calm in it all. But this is the attacks. I tell you what, I have failed on both of these strategies more than once. I found the aggressive attack to be very intimidating. I did stand up on some and held my ground and then was in shock for about 3 days afterwards, not understanding. I just stood up to a Jezebelic spirit and held my ground and held my course and not yielded. And I was in shock because of the spiritual attack and the grief and the pain and everything of what had happened. It was actually a trauma. I was numbed out and stunned for 3 days following that confrontation. It should never have been like that, but it's not that I was angry. Yeah, I wasn't. It's just I stood my ground on this thing. And this was in relationship to a former pastor who I'd served and had a relationship and everything like that. We'd eaten together, done stuff together. All that. This was a shock to my system. I was in a state of shock for about 3 days. And no one to know where to go to or what to do to try and find out how to solve that. I didn't even know what was happening to me. I'm just under massive Jezebelic attack, and I've got no understanding of what has just happened to me and what to do about it. But I will share about that tonight, what you do, how to deal with it. We'll pray for people because some of you will need ministry for that area. But the seductive one is always about self-blame. It's all my fault. Oh, I'm the failure. I've done it wrong. It's all my fault. Or self-pity. Or no one understands. You know, I've tried my hardest. And you don't understand where I've come from and how hard it is. It's all about drawing your pastoral heart so you will feel compassion when you should actually be holding your ground. So one is to intimidate you and the other is to draw compassion. I have fallen into both. I've ended up counseling deep problems. Let me tell you this. You can't counsel a Jezebel. Because they're never going to repent and change. They need boundaries to expose the situation, to bring them to repentance. Then you can help them. I didn't know that. I know it now. But I only found that after so many failures. Because every time, it'd either be an angry, intimidating thing and I'm on the defensive trying to actually hold my ground, or there'd be the breakdown in tears and I feel my pastoral heart drop. I'm going to help and love and heal and whatever. And I realize that I'm being manipulated both ways. I'm absolutely inadequate for this task. And that didn't help because I'd feel defeated all the time until the Lord taught me what to do. It's still a difficult task to do, but you've got to realize the attack is to intimidate and to avoid being responsible for the thing you're bringing to their attention. The whole area of the collapse emotionally is the same thing. It's designed to draw your sympathy and distract you from holding them to account for their behavior. You cannot be moved by either strategy. In fact, when the second strategy comes, you should be very aware this is Jezebel operating. And that would be a good time to say, actually, you are under the influence of a Jezebelic spirit. You must acknowledge what I'm saying and repent, or you can't be here anymore. Now, I wish I'd known that a long time ago. I only kind of figured this out in more recent times. had so many. I've got battle scars for all the other times, but that's how I would handle it now. Once I saw clearly that flip-flop between the two things, it'd be totally clear that's a Jezebelic spirit. The behavior has proven it. That is the spirit. And so therefore it's better to call it right out in the open then at that point. Otherwise you're going to waste a lot more time. They'll go out, they're still in the church, they'll defile everyone, they'll talk to everyone, and they create a following, and then they create division in the church, and there's chaos in the church. Simple people don't know what's going on, and they get affected and hurt and wounded and offended, and the church goes through crisis. I've been through that. It's devastating. But I actually, the last time it happened, I was able to hold my ground. I'm very glad. I did all right, actually. But that was after weeks of fasting and prayer and God helping me see what was it. And I'll share the secrets. Okay, you getting the idea? And so if you have a look at Jehu, Jehu's response is just classic. I'll finish with this. And, you know, because Jesus said in Revelation, don't tolerate this. Don't tolerate it. Revelation 2:20. Don't tolerate it. Don't just let it go. Oh, they're nice people. No, he said, don't tolerate Jezebelic operations that are affecting the church, rather, or your family, or your marriage, rather stand up to them and call it out. He says there's a reward for that. You grow in personal spiritual authority. You can't get that authority without actually stepping up and dealing with this thing. So if we go into the Old Testament, Jehu, I love Jehu. I encourage you to read it in 2 Kings 9. Jehu was anointed to pull down Jezebel. And it's just amazing what happens. So we'll read just four verses. 21, Joram said, make ready. His chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. They went out to meet Jehu on the property. And get this, they met him on the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So the place of this engagement is the place Jezebel had attacked and destroyed the legacy of Naboth. How about that? There's no coincidence, is there? And when he saw them, he said, is it peace? Can we talk about this? Can we just sort this out peacefully? And I love his response. What peace? What peace? As long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many. Now, this is the third time he's done that. There's been two other people, I think, came out too. Is it peace? Is it peace? Can we talk and negotiate? No peace. No peace. Now, I love the spirit. That is the apostolic anointing against Jezebel. That's the apostolic anointing. Notice it's quite bold. No peace. I will not live with this thing because its goal is to undermine and destroy me. Therefore, while it exists, I can't accommodate it. No peace. No peace. And you notice what he's saying. Here's the peace. How can there be peace if there's manipulation of witchcraft continues? Just impossible. There's going to be never any peace with it like that. I'm not going to put up with this. I'm going to make a stand. And so he turned around and fled and said, oh, it's treachery. Treachery. In other words, they're accusing Jehu of treachery. Notice the false accusation. The treacherous ones are these guys who gave in to Jezebel. They're calling him the treacherous one. That's how it always works. You're the one who looks the villain when you try to call it out. And it says, Jehu drew his bow with full strength. Let him have it. Drove the thing straight through and out the other side, right through his heart, and came out and he sank down his chariot. Now notice here, you can't have a false peace. You must confront and address the issues of witchcraft and control. They sought peace without resolving issues. Three times he was met with a request for peace. Three times he resisted it. That's how Jezebel operates. It wants peace without resolution of the core underlying issues. A false peace is when you try to keep the peace rather than actually make the peace by dealing with the core issues. Not a real peace, it's a deception, and they regroup and retaliate. So what I love is it takes full commitment to confront this thing. He drew his bow with full strength. He just refused to tolerate it. He refuses the offer of false peace. How often I have accepted false peace. It was never peace. It was just a cover-up. I tolerated things I should never have tolerated. I feel ashamed about it, embarrassed, and pained about the fruit that came out of it. But it's history, and I brought it to the cross for forgiveness. Try to learn from it so you won't do the same. This is why God wants us to learn about these things. Notice he stayed focused on the issue. The issue is not peace. The issue is harlotries and witchcrafts of Jezebel. That is the issue. He kept his focus on the issue. Everyone tries to distract, make it peace, make it come this and that, negotiate, get a group, get a conciliator. No. This is witchcraft. It cannot remain. Either you repent or you can't stay. That's basically the bottom line. Now, there may be a journey through to that point, but eventually this is what this is saying. And you notice he applied full strength. It takes incredible strength to stand up to this kind of person. It's not easy. I have sat and shook with fear. It just felt so overwhelming. But I went and faced it anyway. Sometimes it seems to get so big you feel it's just overwhelming. So authentic apostolic end time ministry will actually face up to Jezebelic operations in the church, in marriages, in families, in business. They will stand up because the apostolic move is to mature the people of God so they can be prepared for the coming of the Lord, to mature them. The Jezebelic spirit is to bring control and slavery to everyone. So the two ministries will eventually collide. So you'll see the Jezebelic thing emerging more clearly throughout the world at the same time the apostolic is. But the church has got to be faced. The church, let judgment begin in the house of God. Everyone's looking outside to what's going on in the world. Why don't we face the things that are happening in the church? And so you can become an apostolic ministry, not in the sense of being an apostle, having an office, but you can arise with an authority to face the stuff where you find it. Will it be easy? No, it won't. Because the spirit of Jezebel will always operate the same way. It will come and attack, or it'll try to seduce. And you've got to be able to resist both. False sympathy, a false peace, nothing's really put right. It just looks good, but it's toxic. And then intimidation, where all kinds of threats are made and you feel overwhelmed. But you have to stand up to it. And I have found that so many people I've worked with have come to the place where this is the issue. Will you stand? And they just didn't have in them the courage to stand. I'm praying that God will give you the courage to overcome in your own life every area of defilement and entanglement, and then where you need to make a stand and call out this kind of behavior for what it is: narcissistic, abusive, controlling, and unacceptable. For some situations, that means you will have a conflict where you end up winning, and the outcome is that this thing is removed. In others, you will retreat and find yourself somewhere else. Either is an acceptable situation. I've had to counsel people, and both have happened. Some they overcame, and some they overcame by moving away, never giving in to it and being seduced by the offers and promises. So it's an amazing thing, isn't it, eh? Now, of course, there's so much more on it, and I've just given you basically the primary focus I've taken is from the point of view of the church. How many can recognize that they've been exposed to that somewhere? Look at that. How about that? Everyone. So it's far more widespread. But now you're getting some understanding of it. You can actually call it out and push back on it. You don't have to yield to it. You don't have to go down that route. Why do you think the world is making a shout against the church for abuse? See, just get your eyes off the world. It's just God saying there's things going on in the house. Jezebel has had room to move. The church has got to see it and call it out and stop playing its game. And because the church isn't doing it and apostles aren't doing it, you just put it out in the media and let the world shout it out. Just don't think the world's attacking. They're just doing what they do. They're under a certain influence. But God is trying to do something in the church to call out behavior that's controlling and wrong. So the first place you deal with it's in your own heart. And we'll share with you how to do that a little later. I run out of time now. God bless. Trust you've enjoyed this session.